It is 7:31 and time once again for Community Forum. And we're lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning, Tom Carpenter, who is with the Government Accountability Project, back with us once again to give us an update on the Hanford Nuclear Reservation and a new initiative that's very exciting that you'll be able to participate in. Tom, thanks for coming back.
Thanks, Mike.
If you could start out and briefly tell us, what is the Government Accountability Project?
Okay, we're a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C., and we have an office here in Seattle. We represent whistleblowers and kind of watchdog government activities. We've been looking at the Hanford nuclear site for a good, 15 years now, representing whistleblowers there, people like Casey Rude, Ed Bricker, and others who expose issues, problems, environmental dangers, health and safety issues at the Hanford site. And along the way, we get involved in not only helping them, but exposing their issues. And so we participate in like the Hanford Advisory Board. We write comments. We research the site and issue reports on problems at the Hanford nuclear site, and as well as other nuclear sites and other government activities across the country.
And just the Hanford nuclear site would, I would imagine, would keep you pretty busy on issuing reports about the problems out there. I mean, they're so numerous.
Right. Well, Hanford turns out to be the largest contaminated and polluted site outside of the former Soviet Union. So right here in our state, we've got one of the biggest environmental headaches and one of the most expensive environmental remediation projects in the world. And we're not close to making a dent in the issue there. So you're right, it's a massive problem. About $2 billion a year of taxpayer money goes into trying to remediate the environmental situation there.
And as if things weren't already bad enough there, it turns out that our government, our federal government, is looking at trying to bring in more waste to the Hanford facility. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Hanford is right next to the Columbia River, and there's a great concern about the leaking radioactive waste and chemical waste that's already stored in the grounds. It's got millions of cubic feet in unlined soil pits already. It's got about 200 square miles of contaminated groundwater, and yet the government has recently proposed to about double the amount of waste stored at the Hanford site from other states to truck in their waste from other nuclear weapons production. We're estimating about 70,000 truckloads of nuclear waste heading to the Hanford site for burial there in unlined soil pits. So Hanford, in our view, there's this big cleanup project going on, but not much is being accomplished. And the Bush administration now is talking about how expensive this cleanup is and how long it's going to take and how technically challenging it's going to be. And their response to that was what they called an accelerated cleanup plan, which has as its feature a faster cleanup that's going to cost less money. Well, when you look at the plan, of course, you find out that they're just not going to do a lot of the cleanup. And the flip side of that coin is that they're going to import and bury a lot of new waste at the Hanford site. And to get it there, they'll have to use, of course, the road systems and the railways to truck in this waste. Again, 70,000 truckloads of nuclear waste on our highways coming from all over the country to bury at the Hanford site. So we're upset about this. We think it's not helpful to the cleanup that's going on. And our response to this, after negotiating with the Department of Energy, with the Department of Ecology in Washington State, was to decide to file an initiative to the people to ban the burial and disposal of waste at the Hanford site until they get their existing cleanup on track, until they remediate the existing burial grounds out there, which is basically, that's not going to happen anytime soon. So this would, in effect, stop the import and burial of waste at Hanford.
So this is very exciting, an initiative. I don't believe you guys have ever done anything like this before, taking it to the people?
Or? No, this is a first, and it's a reaction to what we see as retrenchment on cleanup and the federal government saying, we're just not going to do the cleanup. Recently, we found out, for instance, that that one of the biggest problems at Hanford is that the high-level tank waste, and we found out that they're not going to be vitrifying or putting into glass form most of that waste. Their plan is to leave 90% of the waste untreated or treated in alternative technologies to glass, like concrete. We're worried that we're going to be left holding the dirty bag here in the state of Washington, that the federal government is not going to meet its commitments on cleanup of nuclear waste that they generated as part of the Cold War, and for future waste that they'll generate to make new weapons. So this initiative is our answer to that. It's clean up your mess before you make a new one. We think it's a message that most Washingtonians would agree with. Everyone we've talked to, even in the Tri-Cities, where Hanford is king and can do no wrong, this message is starting to resonate. People want to see the cleanup happen, and they don't want to see additional waste imported from around the country for burial at the Hanford site.
All right, I want to back up a step. You talked about glassification. That was a big solution that had been on the planning books for a long time. And even when people were really behind this, it sounded like the glassification wasn't really going to take care of that much waste to begin with. So are you saying that it's gotten even worse than what it was?
Yes. The glassification would only apply to the high-level tank waste. So there's a bunch of tanks underground at the site that contains the worst of the worst stuff. And the solution for dealing with this kind of waste was always remove the waste from the tanks, put it into a glass form, and then ship that waste to a deep geological repository because it needs to be isolated from the environment for tens of thousands of years. However, as I said earlier, the Bush administration has now said that we don't need to vitrify that waste. In fact, we'll relabel the waste. We'll call it something else so it's not high-level waste, and try to evade their legal responsibilities to deal with this waste in a way that's protective of the environment, simply because it's cheaper to do it that way. And recently, a court overturned the Department of Energy at the behest of an environmental group, Natural Resources Defense Council, and the Yakima Indian Nation sued the Department of Energy over their attempts to do this. But the Department of Energy is moving ahead anyway with their plans, if they can, anything to save the money. And we think it's very important that the state of Washington weigh in with this ballot, that people sign this petition and get it on the ballot, because we've got a lot of work ahead of us to force that cleanup to happen at the Hanford site to protect the Columbia River. I should point out that as the worst contaminated facility in the region, Hanford is posing a significant risk to fish, to agriculture, to businesses out there, to orchards, vineyards. There are billions of dollars worth of agricultural and fisheries products in the eastern part of the state, and the Columbia River comes all the way down to Portland. Many community water supplies are threatened by Hanford's existing waste. Adding to that, doubling the amount of waste out there is only going to double the amount of risk over time to the communities and to the resources out there. So we've got to get this cleanup on track. We've got to stop Hanford from being turned into the national nuclear waste dump.
All right. Now, in terms of the initiative, what's the timeline? How many signatures do you need?
Well, the timeline is we have to raise 250,000 signatures by the end of the year. We started doing that. We started signature raising in earnest. Some of the listeners out there may have been confronted by somebody wanting them to sign a petition. We urge people to do that and to volunteer their time to help do that, because we're trying to get this done by an all-volunteer effort. Once we get the signatures and we put it on the ballot, initiative actually first would go to the legislature of the state of Washington, and then if they fail to act on this, which is our guess, then it would go to a vote of the people in the November 2004 election.
All right. And you probably would actually want more than, just because of the mechanics of initiatives, shoot for more than 250,000 signatures, since there tends to be a drop-off of...
Right. The validation rate. Well, we actually only need 197 valid signatures. So we're shooting for 250.
Okay. And I was very excited to walk by in the university district. You guys are getting an office set up for the initiative there.
Right. On 5505 University Way. We've got a new office. We've got a campaign manager, Jim Gettler. And there's several groups involved in this effort so far. Heart of America, Northwest Government Accountability Project, Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility, Columbia Riverkeeper, Sierra Club, and others are coming on to support this initiative. Washington Environmental Council, we're putting together the legwork and the teamwork, a coalition of groups to make this happen.
Okay, and we'll give it again at the end of the show. But what's like the contact info for how people can plug into this?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. One is to go to the website of the campaign. It's called protectwashington.org. So get on the web, go www.protectwashington.org, or you can give a call to I actually didn't bring the campaign office number with me, but call Heart of America at 206-382-1014 and find out information there. But if you look on the website, you'll see all the text of the initiative, the fact sheets, and all that. So phone numbers to contact.
All right. Now, it seems that one of the cost-cutting measures the Department of Energy likes to use to speed things up at places like Hanford is this whole concept, like you mentioned, with a high-level waste of just redefining or reclassifying things. Haven't they just recently attempted that, too, with low-level waste?
Well, there's constantly an attempt by the Department of Energy, in my view, to evade the law or to water it down and to make it not apply to them. So there are different categories of waste, such as transuranic waste and remote-handled transuranic and mixed waste. All of these are just basically whether or not radioactive waste is mixed with chemicals or what kind of radioactive material it is. And so we're constantly seeing an effort on the Department of Energy to basically soft pedal the danger of this material by relabeling it. They tried to relabel the high-level waste so they didn't have to classify it. The low-level waste, they're shipping in, and this has actually started a big fight between the state of Washington and the Department of Energy. They're shipping in what's called remote-handled transuranic waste. And this is waste that's so hot that basically you can't get within 10 feet of this because of the radiation field surrounding the barrels. There's no place to put this. It's being stored right now in temporary storage at nuclear sites across the country. And lo and behold, they put it on trucks and started bringing it to Hanford. And you know, our response to that and the state's response was, well, what are you going to do with this, and where does it go after here? And we couldn't get a good response from the Department of Energy. They said, well, someday we'll treat it, and someday we might send it off to New Mexico to bury in the WIP site, which is the Waste Isolation Pilot Project. But when we checked that, they said, no, we're not taking this kind of waste. And in fact, a GAO report just released on Tuesday says they don't have any room for this remote-handled waste that's being shipped to Hanford. So that led to negotiations between the state of Washington and the Department of Energy earlier this year, and some strong letters went back and forth. The negotiations failed, and now there are lawsuits flying from the Department of Ecology in the Washington State against the Energy Department to stop these shipments. And the judge has agreed with Washington State that they did not have enough of an environmental analysis and a justification for bringing in this transuranic waste to store at Hanford.
So that's an example of where our Department of Ecology has shown some spine.
Yes. They're certainly getting concerned at this point about what the Energy Department, what the federal government is up to at the Hanford site with the cleanup. So we're starting to see signs of life over there. We've been somewhat disappointed over the years in their lack of enforcement over the existing contaminated waste. They've seemed to be focused on the high-level nuclear waste tanks, despite the fact there's other leaking going on. I mean, you can find radioactive waste in the river because of Hanford's leaks today. You just drive on out there, get in a boat, and I'll show you where it is. We're monitoring these seeps and the chemicals in the river and whatnot. The fish are impacted by this. Again, the Department of Ecology basically has given that short shrift. They've been focused on one thing and one thing only. Well, that's starting to change now once they realize that what we're dealing with is an administration that doesn't care what they think, doesn't care what the law is, doesn't care what the public thinks. We are seeing all the signs of bureaucratic arrogance and what we call the dad syndrome, decide, announce, defend, in Washington, D.C., and they're just shoving waste our way and saying, like it or lump it. And we're not going to take that. We're going to fight back with this initiative. We're pushing on our representatives and the Department of Ecology, and they're starting to fight back too.
So within the and one of the structures that allows Washington State to say no is the Tri-Party Agreement. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah, that's the legally binding cleanup agreement that was struck in 1989. The tri-parties, or the three parties in this case, are the state of Washington, the federal government through the Department of Energy, and the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA. So that's the three parties. The state of Washington and the EPA are regulators, and the Department of Energy owns the site and is responsible for the mess out there. And that agreement set forth a series of deadlines for cleanup for when the Energy Department had to come into compliance, dig up the soil, remediate the groundwater, et cetera. And so we've been going along with that agreement for a good 13, 14 years now. But again, the Bush administration is acting like it doesn't even exist, and they're changing agreements and deadlines unilaterally, and just telling the Department of Ecology in the state of Washington what they're, well, we're going to slip on this deadline 6 months, a year, or we're just not going to do that part anymore. Sorry. One thing that really alarms us is this talk of we're going to close nuclear waste tanks. Well, wait a second. You can't close a nuclear waste tank. It's full of radioactive goo. It's dangerous. It produces gases that are explosive and whatnot. And their plan is, well, we're going to put a bunch of concrete in there and walk away. And it's closed. The problem's solved. No, it's not. The concrete's going to fail within 10 to 20 years and contaminate the groundwater. The whole mess goes into the ground when the tank leaks. So it's a stopgap and convenient solution that saves the Bush administration a lot of money, but does nothing to protect our environment or safety and health in the long run.
Yeah, I would think anyone that has lived in a structure, you know, for 10-plus years has seen how concrete fails over a period of time. I mean,
right.
It's just absurd.
Well, when you subject it to heat and radioactivity and chemicals, and it just doesn't work. In fact, one of the scientists at the Hanford site did a quick calculation for me comparing the effectiveness of concrete versus glass. And it turns out that glass is 10 billion times more effective. That's B, billion times more effective than concrete at containing nuclear waste. But glass is more expensive.
All right. I want to get back to, you know, I think people can kind of expect from the Bush administration to a greater or lesser degree them to be lax on this and trying to circumvent the laws and what was intended. But getting back to our Department of Ecology, if we could talk about them and if they've really been showing spine consistently over the years.
Right. Well, that's a good point, because if the Department of Ecology were doing its job, would we need this initiative? And The answer is, well, maybe not, but we found it hard to count on the Department of Ecology in the long run. We had a series of meetings with its director, Tom Fitzsimmons, in January, February of this year. After about 12 and a half hours of discussions about principles and values and what's going on and how we feel and what's the meaning of this word and blah, 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 it finally comes out of his mouth that he has personally made a deal with a past Secretary of Energy to accept the import and burial of off-site low-level radioactive waste at the Hanford site, basically into the future. So this 70,000 truckloads that we're upset about is something that he doesn't have a problem with as long as other cleanup is on track. Well, at that point, our discussions kind of ended, and we went and filed this initiative. Now, the Department of Ecology, to be fair, has gotten very aggressive since that time. So maybe they got a message, too, that the Energy Department isn't willing to negotiate, isn't willing even to come to the table and talk with them. And I also would hasten to add that the Attorney General, Christine Gregoire, the state of Washington is very lucky to have her in that position, because she is the one person who has consistently shown backbone in this state on the Hanford issue. She is the envy of all the other states, all the other public interest groups out there. Look at her. She has hewed to a line that has said, you will not dump new waste out there. You will clean up on deadline all this waste. And she's willing to back it up with lawsuits.
And I think a lot of the energy she's gotten on that has also come from groups like yours and Heart of America, as well as citizens who have been very concerned about this.
Well, she certainly needs cover, like any politician, when they take bold acts. And taking on the national security establishment in the form of the Department of Energy certainly is that. She has stood up to them consistently. She's one of the few attorney generals in the country that has been willing to do so as aggressively as she has.
Okay, we were talking about labels on these different things: high level waste, low level waste, and the newest 70,000 truckloads of waste proposed to come into Washington State. And one of the things I find kind of shocking is the fact that these truckloads, 70,000 of them, won't have any labels on the outside of them indicating to those of us stuck in traffic next to them that you happen to be, you know, stuck next to a truck full of radioactive waste.
Well, they may or may not, but I think it's likely that if there is one, it's going to be fairly small and hard to see. So in our brochures and our materials, we have this truck with a big radiation symbol on the side of it. And in fact, it's that's not what it's going to look like. There may be a placard on the back that shows, you know, you might have seen it, a fire potential. There might be a radiation sign there. But I think mostly people aren't going to notice that these trucks are there. Each truck will have a radiation field coming off of it that will be equivalent to several x-rays, whole body x-rays, a day. So if, you know, your child is sitting on a school bus stuck in traffic next to one of these trucks, then there's you know, some risk of radiation exposure just from sitting there in traffic. This is not a far-fetched scenario because it turns out that the state of Oregon, for instance, almost all of its highway bridges are going to be closed off to truck traffic because they're in such bad shape for the next 10 years. So they're going to be rerouting truck traffic through these small towns in Oregon on two-lane highways. The traffic situation there is just going to be atrocious, and that's where many of the 70,000 truckloads of waste will come. They'll come straight up the highway, up I-5, and there's not only just the radiation exposure from the trucks, but there's a risk of fire, accident, terrorist attack, and these are grave concerns in this day and age. Blowing up one of these trucks or having an accident or a fire could wipe out several hundred square miles potentially for hundreds of years, depending on what the material it is. That's, for instance, if it's transuranic waste, there's some plutonium in there, and nobody wants to think about or even deal with the aftermath of something like that, and yet we're putting this waste on the road for burial at places like Hanford, and it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to us.
Yeah, I remember back several months, the one of our local two main papers here had an interesting juxtaposition of articles on the front page of the paper, one about the truckloads of waste coming to Washington State, and on the same page they had a thing about I-5 being the most dangerous stretch of highway.
Right. Well, it's scary. I mean, you have 70,000 truckloads of anything, you're going to have a certain number of accidents. Well, if it's a truckload of peanuts, then the consequences are small. But if it's nuclear waste, then obviously you could have a conflagration.
All right. We only have a few minutes left. I wanted to get back to the initiative that you are proposing and putting out for signatures. And tell us again about specifically what the initiative addresses and how people can plug into this.
Okay. Well, first, the initiative is called I-297, and it's Protect Washington and Stop Nuclear Waste Dumping. And what this initiative does is requires cleanup of contaminated sites at the Hanford site. It ends the use of Hanford using unlined soil pits at the site, which is something that's not practiced anywhere in the commercial world, and yet the most dangerous waste in the world goes in these unlined pits.
And people can go to your site for a photo of that. I mean, it's just amazing.
Right. Yeah, we've got some pictures, actually some that I took and some that Jerry took, Jerry Paulette of Heart of America. And it stops the dumping of waste until there's cleanup at the site. And we're urging people to plug in to this initiative, to get out and volunteer. We'll send you a copy of a petition in the mail. If you want to, call us or go to the website and ask for one. We're asking people to work events, you know, concerts and picnics and other community events, sea fairs coming up. And, you know, people put in hour, 2 hour shifts just collecting signatures. And this is how we'll raise a whole bunch of signatures. You might get one of these petitions in the mail, because we're mailing them out to hundreds of thousands of people. And we're not going to do it unless we get a groundswell of support. We're starting to get that, by the way. I think we'll make it, but we're just starting it up. So we have until the end of the year to raise 250,000 signatures. We're on the way to doing that. We've started collecting those signatures. So people can plug in by going to the protectwashington.org website. They can call 206-382-1014 and talk to somebody there. If I can answer any questions from there, happy to.
All right, that's great. Unfortunately, with that, we're out of time.
Well, thanks, Mike.
This has been great. It's always great having you on the show. It's the only frustration for me is that you're like this walking library of facts about Hanford, and having you here for only half an hour, I can't get quite enough out of you in that period of time. So talking with Tom Carpenter, who is with the Government Accountability Project here in Seattle. And one last time, Tom, what is the contact info for your organization?
For Government Accountability Project, 206-292-2850. We're on the web at whistleblower.org.